message today, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I did ask permission if I can stream the message on Facebook, where many could benefit from the message, and just in case if you are asking what's this for, and I thank you for the grace, the favor, and I would like to ask if we can stand up together to read the Word of God from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 1, 10. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is writing to the Corinthians, and he is sharing his experience, and he is saying these words in verse 10, "Who delivered us," speaking of God, "who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. He delivered us in the past, and he still deliver us today, and in whom we trust that he will deliver us in the future." From the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." May we give thanks to this blessed Word of God. Our blessed God and our Father, we thank you so much for your infallible Word. We thank you so much that we have been entrusted to it. And how we thank you that in it we can find food, edification, exhortation, warning. And how we thank you that above all, we can find the Lord Jesus, the Son of your love, the one whom you have appointed to be the great shepherd of the sheep. And how we thank you, our Father, that at this last day of this year, that we can render thanksgiving unto thee in the name of the Lord Jesus for your precious word. As we now sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, our master and our teacher, how we pray that he will speak to our hearts. We ask this in his precious name. Amen. You might be seated. It's a very special day, beloved, because it is the last day of the year. Someone said that every time from we pass from one year to the other, it is like those road distance signs. You're traveling on 401 going to Windsor, going from Windsor to Toronto, for example, every 50, 100 kilometers, then you have a sign that says, you know, 200 kilometers, 150 kilometers to Toronto, and so forth. So it's wonderful that at the last day of the year, that before we go into 2018, to a new year, it is wonderful that we pause before we move forward, that we stand before we carry on, that we meditate before we go into the new year. And what do we meditate upon? What do we look for? When we look back, what do we look? I highly recommend that one, especially those who are working on their driver's license, which is a nightmare to your parents, I highly recommend that you keep your eyes focused on the road. But every now and then, you need to take a little glance in your back mirror, right? We don't keep on concentrating in the back mirror, because if we keep on doing that, we're not going anywhere. And if we push that pedal, we're going to run into a tree or a car or something. But we do need the back mirrors to take a little glance every now and then, don't we? That's what we're doing today. We need to not just keep on focusing on the past, but we need to take a glance and to see what the Lord has done. Beloved, it's amazing how Samuel of the old could set something called Ebenezer, the stone of help, and he can say, "Hitherto the Lord has helped us. We did not reach this point in our lives on our own. We did not. It is because of the loving kindness of the Lord," we were reading about with Jeremiah, we are not consumed. Reflect upon, dear ones, I'm pretty sure they're coming across your mind right now. They were with us last year, but they're not here today. They've gone to be with the Lord. They were ushered into eternity, and they're not here today. But here we are. Are we better than them? No. Well, we were given this amazing grace, beloved. We were given a new opportunity. We were given this new opportunity that we may live according to God's will in our lives. If we're not saved, I pray that today will be your day. Because the Bible says now is an acceptable time. Today is a day of salvation. And if you are saved already, that we may fulfill those good works that the Lord has saved us unto, that He has prepared for us, that we may walk in them. How wonderful it is in Psalms 23, it was read today. He looked back, David, this old man, the old king, he looked back and he said, "Surely, goodness and mercy, they follow me all the days of my life." People run after good things today, run after money. They run and they keep on running and running. But he who trusts in the Lord, whom the Lord is his shepherd, he doesn't run after these things. He looked back and he sees that these things are running after him and her. "These things shall be added to you." How wonderful it is, beloved, that I can remember the Jacob of the old, where he can, at the end of his life, and he's talking to Joseph before he blessed both of his sons, he could say, "The God who shepherded me all the days of my life." Beloved, how wonderful it is to know that we have a God who cares for each and every one of us. It doesn't make any difference. Where are you in life? Whether young, old, whether struggling, you're doing well. It's the Lord who brought you hitherto. It's the Lord who's on your side. It's the Lord who's with you. It's the Lord who loves you with unimaginable love. Just to be on time and to be precise with you so I don't go stray, I'm often told, if you'd like to be called again, stay on time. So I would like to speak in three words. What I would like us to do, beloved, at this last day of the year, to recall to our mind three important facts. The first fact is this: we have unchanging truths that we need to remember. And then we have unfailing promises we need to bring to our minds. And then we have unavoidable responsibilities that we need to keep before us as we go on into the new year. Let me start with the unchanging truths. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the truths revealed in the Word of God. Beloved, this book, it's a miracle in itself. This book, it took 1,600 years to be written. God used over 40 vessels to write this book. Bring one person and ask him to write a book. He starts in one thing, and then after 200-300 pages, he's off to another thing. He cannot stay on topic. Beloved, bring 10 people, and you just say one sentence to the first person, and then by the end, when it got to the last person, it's totally different sentence. How is it that one book written on the span of 1,600 years by over 40 writers, they never met each other? Some of them did, at a certain time, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. They did meet, but others didn't. Paul didn't meet Moses. But when you read for them, as if the writer is one, different styles, because we believe in the literal inspiration of the Word of God. God did not eliminate the personality of the vessel that God is using, but He was sovereign, and the Holy Spirit was leading those men to write the Word of God for us. And guess what? We have a wonderful book written in two different languages from three different continents, over 10 different countries, I count it. And I have a book that we call it the Bible, God's infallible Word. And someone come and tell me, "Oh, your Bible is corrupted and it's been altered." And unchanged. This is why 600 years later, God needed to send Muhammad with another book. Beloved, this is the Word of God. The greatest proof, this person standing before you, it changed me. And it keeps on changing me every day. And it has changed millions throughout the centuries. This is the unfailing Word of God. So, this is the first truth that we need to remind ourselves. We have the Word of God. What are we going to do about it? I'm afraid that our Bibles today, they have a layer of dust over it. Well, but Brother Ishmael, we have apps today. I'm afraid that we don't even visit those apps. Brother Ishmael, I have one verse a day keeps the devil away. Work. That's not going to work. Beloved, this Word of God was given to us, not that we may know it only, not that we may understand it only, but it was given to us that we may eat it. When you eat it, it becomes part of you. It goes in your bloodstream. It goes into all your organs. It causes growth and life. Your word was found, Jeremiah 15, 16. And I ate it. And it was good to me. It was for my own joy. So this is the first truth, beloved, that I need to remind myself and yourself. How are we going to treat our Bibles in the 2018, the new year? Are we going to keep it left alone? If you are a child of God, I don't know, how do you go from one day to the other without food? Without food. This is our food. This is our nutrition. This is our strength. This is our hope. Let me say this. This is my life. I'm nothing without the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he said, "And thou from a childhood knowest the holy scriptures, which are able to make you thee wise unto salvation, which is through faith in the Lord Jesus." Beloved, we can be saved through the Bible, and then we can maintain. We can be saved through the Bible, and then our salvation is sure through the presence of the high priest and the presence of the right hand of God, and we can maintain our fellowship with God through His Word. A believer is connected to God with two main relationships. The first relationship is salvation, and that will never and cannot be unhindered or cut off or lost, because salvation is not a human effort. Salvation, it is God's gift. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast, none of works. But then, fellowship with our Father and the Lord Jesus can be hindered and be cut off because of our laziness, because of sin, because of many things in this world, and that's what Satan is after. But how we need, beloved, to have the Word of God before us. A second truth that I need to bring to our minds so we can be reminded of it as we are leaving one year, going to the other year, if the Lord should leave us here, and that is life is short. Right? Shorter can we can imagine. I don't guarantee that I will make it today with my family across the borders to go back to Oak Park, Michigan and preach today. I cannot. Or the watch night we're having also in our chapel. There's no guarantee. I think it was, I forgot which president, doesn't make a difference, but he said something very worthy of looking upon. He said, the only certain truth in this uncertain life is death. Think about it. The only certain truth in this uncertain life is death. Life is short. We don't know when will it end. I'm not scaring you. I'm just reminding myself and you of truths. Life is sure. Life is uncertain. And death is sure. Brother Ishmael, okay, we'll die and then that'll be it. No, Hebrews 9:27 tells me otherwise. For as it has been appointed for men to once die, and after that, the judgment. There is judgment. The judgment of God is maybe has been put off, hasn't been canceled. God's long suffering is unfathomable. God's long suffering and patience and endurance for us is amazing. Don't abuse it. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, don't abuse it. Because when God's grace is exhausted, judgment must come. But then, here's another truth that I need to remind myself and yours. Eternity is long. Longer than you can imagine. One time I asked Elijah when he was, I forgot how old were you. I said, if we're going to put a sign over the gates of hell, what would that sign be? Remember, Elijah, what was your answer? You know, I remember. I catch those things. He said, no exit. Or either no exit or one way. Either one. And both of them are true. The gates of hell. No exit. And it's one way. Brother Ishmael, are you here to scare us? No. I'm here just to remind you of what the Bible teaches. What the truth that we have been learning and we've been taught. Eternity. Especially hell. I'm talking about hell. There is no way out. And it's a one-way street. But beloved, at the same time, I would like to remind myself and you as well that the Lord Jesus is sweet. The Lord Jesus is sweeter than you can think. Someone said, Christ's birth brought God to us. Christ's cross brought us to God. Bethlehem, Emmanuel, God with us. Who's that babe laid in a manger there? That's God. For the first time ever in their lives, angels could look on upon the face of God. 1 Timothy 3:16, he was seen by angels. For the first time in their lives, those angelic beings, they can look God face to face. Mary, did you know? When you kiss this child of yours, you have kissed face of God. That babe there, he's God, incarnate. And then, why was he born? He was born to die. Why were you born? We were born to live. He was born to die. Yes, our life is a physical life, but guess what? He came to die to give us spiritual life. Because our life was insane. Our life is meaningless. Our life was selfish. Our life has no meaning, no taste. I can tell you of my own life. I don't have the time to do that. But I tell you, since the Lord Jesus met me and changed me, oh, how wonderful he is. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Yes, down the road, made mistakes, but I thank him from all my heart that he never quit on me. I quit on myself. Many quit on me, but guess what? He never did. He never did. I don't know where you are right now in your life. I don't know what you're thinking, but I know there is a God out there who loves you. One person, I heard him the other day on the internet, he forsook Islam. He's a very genius person. And he listed the many reasons why he forsook Islam. And then when he was asked, okay, now what? He said, I don't know if there's a God out there. And listen to this carefully, please. And if there is, he doesn't care. And when he was asked why, he said, look to all the killing and the wars and the evil that is going on in the world. He has a point, doesn't he? But he missed that this God is not the source of evil or sufferings in the world. Imagine that you go to a dealership and you buy a brand new vehicle, and then you're given all the instructions. You already have your license plate, okay, you know how to drive and everything. But then you leave that dealership after you finish all your paperwork, you pay and you leave, and the first thing you do, you start driving your car recklessly. And you're not abiding by the rules. You're not minding the street signs, the traffic light, nothing. And then you damage your vehicle by running into a wall. are you going to be able to take that vehicle back to the dealer and said, you gave me, you sold me a broken vehicle? It's your fault? God created us in a very amazing way. And He's given us everything we need to live and to love. He loved us beyond measure. But we, not just Adam, but we, each and every one of us, decided ignorantly and foolishly to live for me, myself, and I, and ruined our lives. I cannot blame God for my own decisions and the consequences of my decisions. But here is God, the God that I know from the Bible, how He cares. He's standing at the door of your heart and He's knocking. I love you, but I blew it. I still love you, and I want you back. This is the God of the Bible. He wants us back. And He did when He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for the likes of us. He wants you back. I can go on and on about the unchanging truths that we have been told and taught and learned. But let me go on real quickly to the unfailing promises. God's unfailing promises. Oh, beloved, how I love the Bible, because the promises are in the Scriptures, are in Christ, and in Him are all yea and amen. All the promises of God are in Christ. You see, when you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You will be blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What does that mean, Brother Ishmael? Let me give you an illustration from the Old Testament. The land is, they're fighting over, they've been fighting over it, and they will continue fighting over it. It's the Lord's. It's Emmanuel's land, right? And then He said, Abraham, yes, Lord, I'm going to give you this land to you and to your generation, your seed afterwards. Thank you, Lord. All right, come on, let's go. That's yours. But He lived as a sojourner throughout this land. 400 years later, His people, His descendants, went down to Egypt. They were there in slavery. And then the Lord brought them out through Moses and the Passover lamb and the parting of the Red Sea. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. And then Moses had to go home. Joshua parted the Red Sea, the Jordan River, by the power of the Lord, and then they went into the land. The land is theirs. Every place you step on it, it's yours. I've given it to you. Thank you, Lord. But they linger in the land. They did not possess the whole land. Joshua could say there are many land that it hasn't been possessed yet. Okay, so what are we going to do about it? The same thing today, beloved. We have so rich a reservoir. We have a store of blessings, God's blessings, spiritual blessings for us. And here we are. All what we enjoyed, salvation. Thank you, Lord. I'm saved. I'm saved from hell. I'm going into heaven. Thank you, Lord. This is not salvation. Salvation that the Lord Jesus offers is not a fire escape. It is not. And it's not just going to heaven. This is the outcome of it. But the true salvation is this. You'll be changed. The Lord Jesus will change you. The Lord Jesus will give you meaning for life. The Lord Jesus will give you something to live for. Let me correct my saying. He will give you someone to live for. And that is Himself. In Paul's case, that I may attain that which Christ has already attained me. I do one thing, I forget that which has passed and press on toward the mark. What was that thing? Paul, as if he's saying, I was this legal Jew going after the Christians, assaulting the church and killing them. The first terrorist, the first ISIS, if you will. One time I had a program and I called it ISIS, ISIS, why thou persecutest me? Saul was a terrorist. Even when Ananias, the Lord is telling him, guess what? Saul is saved. Oh, Lord, hold it. You're up there, I'm down here. We know Saul. Let me tell you about Saul. He's like Osama bin Laden. And Saul got saved. As if he's saying like this, okay, here I am, I'm trying to do what I know best, to be a legal Jew, and I'm doing it out of zeal, and I was sincerely mistaken. But guess what? He looked down at me from heaven, and he made me his goal, and he stepped down from heaven, he stooped down from heaven, and he won my heart. Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest me? Who are you, Lord? And then he said, I am Jesus, whom thou art persecuting. He said, Lord, what would thou want me to do? And Paul lived the rest of his life asking those two questions. Who are you? And what do you want me to do? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, lest I attain to the resurrection from the dead. And then, Lord, what do you want me to do? To know him and to make him known. Beloved, is this what you're doing today? God's blessings are enormous. And Paul is saying, now, just as he made me his goal, now I'm here on earth, he's in heaven, and I'm going to make him my goal. I'm going to pursue hard after him. Lastly, let me go on to unavoidable responsibilities. Give me one reason. Give me one reason why, after we're saved, we stay here on earth. After we're saved, beloved, let me ask you this. Are we ready? Are we fit for heaven? The minute you are genuinely saved, you repent of your sins, and you ask the Lord Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, question, are you fit for heaven? Yes. Can you give me an example from the scriptures? Thank you. The thief on the cross. Right? Lord, remember me when thou wouldst come in your kingdom. Verily I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Then, okay, Lord, after you saved me, why did you leave me here? Because I want you to go and get others. I want to go and get others. Simon Peter, from now on, I will make you a fisher of men. And in order for me to go and fulfill the Great Commission, to go into all the world, and it starts with your own family, and it goes on to your workplace, or your school place, or your friends, or your relatives, and then if the Lord wants to call you to go to China, to the uttermost of the earth. But it starts with this. Have this thought got a hold of your brain, your mind, your soul, your heart, that we are not here for ourselves. Paul could say in Romans 14:7, for if we live, we live unto the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. For whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this reason, Christ has died and raised and lived, that he may rule and reign over those who are alive and dead. I don't know any other reason, beloved, why we are left here, but to be conformed to this, to the image of his Son here, by the work of the Holy Spirit, and then to reach others. You see, the Lord Jesus, beloved, when he lived on this earth, he lived for a little over 33 years. He limited himself. The verse is read today from Philippians 2. Seven steps the Lord Jesus took when he came into the scene. He went down from being God, though he did not stop being God, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Being in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In order for him to do this, beloved, he willingly and lovingly came into the scene, and he accepted that he will be born from a woman, a virgin. And not only that, that he will be brought up as all of us will be brought up, yet without sin. When he was 12, He was fully aware of who he is. I must be in my Father's business. At the same time, the Bible says in Luke 2 that he went back with Mary and Joseph, and he was in submission to them. When he started his public ministry, when he was 30 years of age, he could say, for this reason, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And not only that, beloved, when he was telling them about the end times and what's going to take place, he said, no one knows the hour, not even the Son. He became hungry. He became thirsty. He was depressed. And finally, he died. He accepted to limit himself in the bond of humanity, yet without sin. Why? In order for him to do many things, but mainly, it was read today from Hebrews 2. I believe there are 8 reasons why the Lord Jesus became a man. But the most important thing is to die. To be able to die. God is spirit, and he cannot die. But in order for him to die, he became a man. Why would God want to die? Because the wages of sin is good works, right? The wages of sin is good works, right? Correct me, please. Death. The wages of sin is death, not good works. Okay, if the wages of sin is death, okay, whoever sinned, let him die. That's the God of the Bible that cares. It's not physical death, spiritual death, and eternal death. But he stooped down in love to take your place, my place, on the cross of Calvary. And the Lord Jesus lived in a small area in Nazareth, moved to Capernaum, and he was moving in his public ministry between Upper Israel in Galilee down to Judea and Jerusalem and back and forth for 3 years. And then after that, he did the work of redemption, went back to heaven on the 40th day from his resurrection. And then the whole story is gone. It's done away with? No. After 10 days, he sent the Holy Spirit. Imagine the disciples, about 120 of them, they were in the upper room, and they were afraid of the Jews. And guess what happened? They were empowered. And the Lord used maybe a few of them, and then those who were scattered after Stephen's martyr, and then Paul, to spread the gospel throughout all the inhabitants at that time. What took place? What took place is what the Lord Jesus told them. It is far better for you that I depart, because if I don't depart, I cannot send the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came, beloved, and he empowered the church, he formed the church, he empowered the believers, and now Christianity is all over the place for 2,000 years. It is what the Lord Jesus has done. He is in his beloved. He is in us. He is in the Christians. This is our responsibility. Our responsibility. I am in Christ. This is my position. Christ is in me. This is my responsibility. And I need to take him to my wife, to my children, to my co-workers, to my friends. Wherever I go, I take him with me. Pray with me the wonderful prayer of the humble, of David of the old. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's a wicked way in me, and grant me an eternal way. The time is very, very precious. And these moments are very precious. Are you going to continue living your life as a play? Are you going to keep on putting the mask? I pray that today will be the day that you will face yourself and come clean and confess your sins and ask the Lord Jesus to save you, and he will. Beloved, fellow Christians, are we going to continue wasting our lives and wasting our times? And people around us are dying left and right. 5 terrorist attacks in the past 24 hours in Egypt. Dozens of people dead. I pray that we will pray the prayer of Moses of the old. So teach us to number our days, and we'll be granted a heart of wisdom. Redeeming the time, the Bible says, for the days are evil. May we walk as wise, not as fools. May the Lord help us, brethren, that we enjoy the Lord, love Him, fellowship with Him. Allow Him to shape us and to transform us. And love the brethren. And love His word. And love the sinners. He's coming soon. Lord Jesus, as we stand at the steps of a new year, if Thou should delay Your coming and allow us to go into 2018, we do not know what tomorrow holds for us, but we know You, the One who knows tomorrow. We thank You for Your unfailing love. We thank You for Your unchanging and unfathomable grace. We thank You for Your faithfulness throughout all the way. You're a God of faithfulness, God of truth. There's no injustice in You. We thank You that You have brought us hitherto with Your own help, Lord Jesus. No one can claim that we are here because of our righteousness or because of our wisdom. We are here because of Your long-suffering and Your mercies and Your loving kindness. You spared our lives. You've been so good to us. Yes, we've been through deep waters. We've been through fiery trials. But how we thank You that You were with us. You never forsook us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And how we thank You as we are reflecting upon Your goodness, Lord Jesus, upon us. And before we go on into this unknown year to us, we don't know what could be in it. Death, to go and be with You. Rapture. Life and its silly surprises, we don't know. But we know this, that You love us, and that's enough for us. And that God, our Father, has a plan for each and every one of us. And we are part of this big plan. And I pray that today, young and old, will find our place in that plan, which is You are, Lord Jesus, the center of it. I pray that my gaze and my brethren's gaze will be fixed upon Thee. And I pray that today, which is the first day of our remaining days here on earth, that we will take the relationship with You seriously. That we will take the Lord Jesus, our Father, to this dying world, because He alone can save them as He has saved us. That soul that is near hell, our Father, we pray that You will save that dear, precious soul, even today, here or on Facebook. Oh, how I pray that You will convict that soul of her sins, of judgment, of righteousness. And I pray that the cross of the Lord Jesus will be revealed to that dear soul and confined forgiveness of her sins through the blood that was shed on Golgotha's tree. Our Father, we love You because Thou hast first loved us. And we thank You for the Lord Jesus, Your indescribable gift, whom we look forward to see Him soon, very soon, face to face. And He will take us to see Thee, our Father, in Thy house. What a day that will be. What a day. Lord, our Father, we ask all this in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.